Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it is Cinco de Mayo. So Latin artist from the 1980s is your artist of the day. Good Tuesday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's not only Taco Tuesday, it is Cinco de Mayo, and it is also time for our quarantine conversation of the day. Let me bring in a very dear friend who is our quarantine conversation of the day. Hello, friend.
I want to know what gods we have angered that Taco Tuesday falls on Cinco de Mayo and the whole thing is ruined by a virus named after a Mexican beer.
It's Morgan Freeman, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, yes, it is.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm just, it's one thing to drive Miss Daisy around in a car once in a while, but shacking up with that woman for 2 months, I think I'm about to rip her head off.
My good friend Tom Kane is your coronavirus conversation of the day. Hello, my friend. It's so good to hear your voice.
It is so good to be here.
And you're in the Zoom. Hello.
With the help of Samuel here, he helped me figure out how to do that because I did it wrong. You sent me the instructions, but, you know.
Now I can see you. Hi.
So what a lot of people don't know is, and when we talked, I think it was 2 or 3 months ago, out at Windy City Pub in South Leawood, you had moved from Overland Park down to California.
Yeah. When I saw you last, I don't even remember when it was, but we moved back to L.A. And now we're back in Kansas City because it just, you know, I was out there because there was a possibility, and it still exists, but of me doing some on camera work on perhaps some, I don't know, sci-fi TV series that's on Disney Plus, but everything shut down. There's just nothing happening in L.A., and it's the whole entertainment industry is just kaput. And there's no sign of it coming back for probably months and months. But we were renting a house there because we were looking to buy one, and of course everything fell apart. You know, the mortgage people pulled out, and so I'm sitting here looking at this, going, okay, so I can sign a year lease on a rental property for something that may not happen for 6 months. And I've got, you know, everybody back home. And my agent just said, look, when they start doing production, just everybody's auditioning for parts now over Zoom and Skype. And the casting directors apparently love it because they can do it from home. And they just, you know, they're just like I'm looking at you guys now.
Right.
They email them a script and they do it and they record it and they play it for the director, or the director's in the room. And So he just said, yeah, so, you know, if we end up giving you a part, you just fly out and stay for a week or two to do your on-camera thing and go back home to Kansas.
Let me ask you something, Tom, for the benefit of everyone listening. What does the lag time look like with respect to Hollywood production? So we are still watching new things, and they are releasing things that, you know, maybe they weren't going to release for another 6 months, like this Michael Jordan thing. When do we come to the end of the road where everything that was shot before the pandemic hit is now over and there's nothing new coming down the pipeline?
Well, I'm hardly wired into that to speak, you know, definitively. But my guess from little bits and pieces is 3 months.
Maybe 3 months.
Yeah, there might be enough content just floating around for another few months. But that I would think that would be stretching it, because everything. I mean, part of the, you know, if this had happened 25 years ago. You know, we'd have stuff coming down the pike for the next 9 months or year, because it takes so long to get, or took so long to get stuff done.
Right.
Back in the day. Now it's all, you know, everything's edited on computers, the sound's on computers, everything's done. You know, you don't have to wait for 3 days for the, you know, the producers and directors to get in a room to look at a rough cut. They just send it to them on the internet.
Right.
Well, so because of that, now the lag time between the time you... here's an example. When I first started doing cartoons back in the 90s, it took a year from the time we recorded the soundtrack to the time the animation was finished and it was on the air. So, you know, you basically had almost a year's worth of content in the pipeline.
Right.
Now, that exact same cartoon, if they really want to bust their hump, they can do it in 3 months. Instead of years,
you bring up an interesting point. Does cartoon work continue more so than actual actors physically being, you know, shot on film somewhere?
There is some of that is still happening. I have been recording some cartoon episodes. I've done a couple things for Archer, you know, in the last couple months, but and a fair amount of Star Wars stuff that is animated. But some of the Star Wars stuff I'm working on isn't coming out till end. Oh my gosh, it's not going to be out till the very end of this year. So, yeah, I mean, the technology shot us in the foot, because instead of having a year's worth of stuff in the pipeline, everybody's got a few months worth of stuff in the pipeline, because it's so quick to do it. But the on camera stuff is completely gone. I mean, it is just shut down. There hasn't been a film for anything that I know of in 2.5 months, and it's not going. And there's not going to be for several months. Because think about it, what are you going to do if you've got a movie starring, let's say, Morgan Freeman, and Morgan's 80 years old, or you've got something with Sir Ian McKellen, who's 86.
Right.
I mean, there's no way they're going to have 300 people on a set around a bunch of senior citizen actors who are getting paid tens of millions of dollars and are worth a fortune to the movie, and have them all come down with Corona and die.
Who don't need the money?
Well, exactly. Oh no, that people have been saying that behind the scenes and not behind the scenes. Anybody that's over the age of about 55. Is a celebrity is like going, nah, hell no, I'm not getting anywhere near a set.
Right.
Because honestly, you know, most of the people that are involved in this stuff, the executives, I mean, Steven Spielberg is 76 years old. Ron Howard's pushing 70. I mean, so the directors are all senior citizens. The big name stars, keep in mind, every time you look at people in a movie, they're all at least 10 years older than you think they are. So, you know, if you're looking at Daniel Craig and you think he's a damn, you know, good looking 48-year-old man, yeah, try 60.
Is that true? Is he 60? I saw him on Saturday Night Live the other night.
Yeah, he's pushing 60.
Wow. You're also the voice of the Oscars. Will there be an Oscars this year?
Well, the next Oscars wouldn't be till February or March.
Oh, February, that's right. They already did it earlier this year.
But again, I'm telling you right now. I mean, no one that I know of with any authority think there's going to be a vaccine for this thing before the end of the year. It's almost impossible. It's happy. I mean, I've got relatives who are, working on Alzheimer's research, and my sister-in-law's a geneticist at Duke. And, this is just not going to happen in 6 months.
Well, Tom Hanks has already had it, so we could just do an Oscars with just Tom.
Exactly. Well, but think about that. Now, everybody's talking about the award shows, because we're going to have a resurgence of this come flu season. It may not be bad. It may not be anything like we've had. And I'm sure it won't be, because by then, 25% of the population will already have had it and be immune to it. But you're talking about a room with 4,000 of the biggest celebrities on the planet Earth all touching each other. Hmm. There's no way in hell, if someone has got coronavirus in L.A. still come February of next year, if it's still just trickling around, there's no way they're going to put all those people in the same room.
Tom Kane, the voice of Yoda, Archer, so many other of your favorite characters, is joining us. He is your quarantine conversation this afternoon. We'll continue with the great Tom Kane in just a moment here on KMBZ. A Tuesday throwback to the 80s. And joining us as our quarantine conversation of the day is a good friend of the program and one of my favorite people on the planet, the great Tom Kane, voice of Yoda, Archer, God knows, Morgan Freeman. If you ever hear a Morgan Freeman commercial, that's really not Morgan Freeman, that's Tom Kane.
This is so weird because Scott surprised me with your call, Tom, today, and I was just thinking about you last night. And this is so weird.
Oh, I hope it was a good thing.
I was in bed.
Oh!
I was! I swear to you! Because
I
spent last night watching the Netflix documentary on Daryl Hammond, the Saturday Night Live alum. Who it was a brilliant voice artist and then went on to do the most famous Bill Clinton of all time. He's known for doing Bill. Yeah. And I wondered out loud, before I even knew you were coming on the show today, he talks about the age at which he discovered he could make his mom smile doing these voices. And when she wasn't smiling, she was horrifically abusive to him. It's a very difficult documentary to watch, so don't go in thinking it's going to be funny necessarily. But I wonder what year Tom Kane knew he could do what it is he does.
Well, I suppose if I had been growing up in L.A., I probably would have been doing stuff since I was a 5-year-old. Because I was doing all the silly things I do even back when I was a little kid. But I grew up in Kansas City, and, my mom, if you'd asked my mom in 1964 when I was a 2-year-old exactly where Hollywood was, she wouldn't have known. It could have been near San Francisco. I mean, she would say California, So the stuff I was doing, if I'd have been in L.A. wandering around doing the silly voices and stuff I do, as a child, somebody would have said, I'm going to introduce you to an agent. But here, I was just a really weird little kid. My teacher, I've told you guys this story before, I think, but my first grade teacher was named Mrs. Arnold. And I still remember she had these lovely cat-eye glasses and a beehive hairdo. I mean, man, she was a hoot. But she would get to the breaking point where she just couldn't take me anymore because I was the poster child for ADHD before there was such a thing. You know, back then they just, he's full of energy, right? But
you were a spaz. That's what we used to call those people.
Tie me to my chair with jump ropes.
No.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And my parents knew about it and didn't care. They're like, hey, that's a great idea. So, she would tie me to my chair with jump ropes. And so I actually owe her and those jump ropes a large part of my career because when I was immobilized, she tied me to my
Uh-oh.
People get their attention by talking in funny voices.
Yeah.
And my mom says when I was like a 2.5, 3-year-old, my grandfather was from Germany, he was German, and we'd be watching the football of the Chiefs back in the 60s, you know, and you know, Len Dawson would drop a football or something, and he would cuss at the TV in German. And I would mimic what grandpa was saying. And he would just sit there and laugh, and my mom and my grandma would be like, what are you laughing at? She goes, if you had any idea what he was saying, you wouldn't be happy.
So wait, what I think Dana was getting at was, like, when was the first time you made money off of making voices?
Oh, I was 15. It was the summer of 1977. The little movie had come out named Star Wars, and I somewhere in between watching Star Wars 12 times that summer, which I did. The city, it's 110 degrees and 90% humidity. And a friend of my neighbor back when I was growing up was a old guy who was a farmer. He grew up in Lacine. He lived up in Overland Park at this point. And he used to say something I still repeat. He goes, about the humidity in Kansas. And he goes, it's so humid out there that if a squirrel farted, it'd start raining.
Oh, gross.
I have no idea what that means, but anyway. But you know, it was too hot to go outside. It was too, you know, to ride a bike. It was there, you know, and listening to the radio. It was like, I 102, you know, back in the day. And I just started noticing that everything sounded exactly the same. You know, all the commercials in Kansas City were all done by the disc jockeys. And they all thought, you know, come on down to the waterbed. I just started calling them and saying, I funny little voice. Someone, maybe if you used me doing a silly voice, people would pay more attention to commercials because it sounds different.
Right.
And I did not know anybody got paid for it. No idea.
Huh,
and of course, on the phone, they thought I was an adult. So anyway, long story short, I got a phone call. I called the American Cancer Society because they had just horrendous PSAs on there. And an hour later, I got a call from the biggest ad agency in Kansas City back then. They're still, I think they're still as huge. It's Barclay. I think Barclay and Evergreen.
Yeah, Barclay Evergreen.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And they thought I was a professional voiceover guy who was volunteering services. And I went, yeah, sure. So My daddy drove me down to the studio downtown Kansas City because I wasn't old enough to drive yet. And of course, they walk up to him and they start handing him the script and talking to him. And he's like, whoa, no, that's the guy you were talking to. And I'm in my fringy cutoff Levi's and my white Stan Smiths that were stained green because I was cutting lawns for $1 a piece. The poor guy was getting his butt chewed by his boss because the engineer set me up in the glass, and I'm looking through the glass, you know, in the studio, and the creative director's tearing this guy a new one because they rent, you know, the agency was paying for the studio because it was the American Cancer Society. It was, you know, they're doing this freebie. And I just looked up and I said, do you want this in some kind of accent? And the guy hit the talk back and he goes, what? And I said, I was thinking maybe this would sound, because I didn't know the term dialect, I said accent. I said, I was thinking maybe the Pepperidge Farm guy. And he said, oh, you can talk like a 75-year-old man from New England? And I'm like, well, yeah, sure, can't everybody have that? And I'm not joking, you know, I don't know why, well, I might know why, because it was my very first one. And I my first commercial, every weekend, a couple dozen Kansas City families have a couple dozen garage sales. But on July 2nd, 1,000 Kansas City families are going to have one garage sale, a big garage sale. A sale so big, as a matter of fact, it'll make the walls of the Glenwood Manor Convention Hall bulge. They call it the Kansas City Garage Sale. All the proceeds go to the American Cancer Society, but all the bargains, well, those go to you. And there's a little bit of my baseball for all the people listening, but in advertising, a 30-second commercial, they want you to come in at 29, and the engineer goes, that was 29 on the nose, and I look up, and these guys are just kind of, their mouths hanging open, and there we go.
All right, hey, Tom, hang on, because I want to hear what you're binging on, what you're reading, all that stuff. Hang tight. Tom Kane, the great Tom Kane, is joining us as your coronavirus quarantine conversation of the day. Good night. If you don't remember, the year was 1989. The band was the Fine Young Cannibals. Their other hit on a Tuesday throwback to the 80s, the great Tom Kane, voice actor, voice of Yoda, Archer, many others, C-3PO, joining us on the coronavirus quarantine hotline. As we do a quarantine conversation. Tom, what are you binging on these days?
Oh, my gosh. Ice cream sandwiches? I'm not kidding. I found I have a condition where if I eat too much sugar, it makes me just feel like caca for about 20 minutes. Anyway, but it's a blood sugar thing. So I found, when I was in L.A., I found these wonderful little snack-sized ice cream sandwiches that are sugar-free. I probably kept that company in business all by myself.
So. What are you binging on as far as watching on TV?
Oh, we started off with Sabrina.
Oh.
Went through that. Jack Ryan. Mm-hmm. Clone Wars, which my buds on the series still are PO'd at me because I participated in something other day, and I didn't know what I was talking about because I'm four or five episodes behind. I wanted to save like the last four episodes so that I could watch it like a movie, you know, just like do it. And of course, we moved in the middle of it, so everyone in the world has been watching the last couple episodes of Clone Wars, and I don't know what's going on.
And, what are you talking about? You do the voice work for it. How do you not know what's going
on? No, because like we were talking about earlier, I did it 6 months ago, 8 months. So I honestly, because I usually record remotely, they only send me my pages for security things. So I read my own Yoda lines and then I'm like, forget about it. And I do that on purpose. I don't want to read the whole script because I want to be able, 6 months later, I want to be able to watch that show like any other fan. So yeah. I read only my lines. The director tells me what I need to know to give the right delivery, the whatever. I shred them and I forget about it. And 6 months later, I can watch it just like anybody else because I honest to God don't know what's going to happen.
Since you went back to LA, I always ask this, who was the most famous person you bumped into before the whole pandemic thing that was not your neighbor?
Well, you do know who my neighbor was.
Yep.
Who was your neighbor?
Pierce Brosnan's
Pierce
son.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And Pierce showed up about at least once or twice a week, you know, to see his grandkids. And he's got a big black BMW pulled over. And I came in one day, and my wife, you know, who's you know, Kansas City. We're just a couple people from Kansas City. She's in the driveway talking to Pierce Brosnan.
And his shirt was off. It was so weird.
Yeah.
It was. And man, that guy is buff for a 75-year-old. No, I mean, it is weird. I saw, let me think, who else? I was walking. There was a little strip mall near us. See, the street we live near is the main thoroughfare to go from Malibu into the valley. So you do get to see some crazy famous people that come through there because it's a shortcut, basically, to get to the San Fernando Valley from Malibu without going through the main traffic. But, yeah, I mean, and there's this little, it's called the Postal Annex or something, where I would just go to mail packages or whatever. And I'm just standing there, you know, it was when we all wore masks, you know, and 6 feet apart. And the woman in front of me, the person couldn't understand her. She pulled her mask down to start saying something, and I'm, oh, that's Linda Hamilton, the Terminator.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
She's like, do you know who I am through a mask?
And it was all I could do to not go, come with me if you want to live.
That's so funny.
Yeah. No, it is amazing, but yeah, I mean, you know, it is funny because you do realize, you know, when things like that happen, they really are a lot of them. Some of them are real A-holes, but a lot of them are just regular folks. You know, you see them without their makeup on and their fancy clothes, and you know, you won't recognize half of them because you know they got a week old growth of beard like Scott does.
It's more than a week.
You know, yeah.
Who's the coolest celebrity you've ever met and the worst celebrity you have ever met?
Well, the coolest, Tom Hanks. I've run across Tom so many times I can't count. He actually hired me a couple times to do stuff because we got to know each other and he knew that I did all these different voices. So he actually hired me. He funded and created the World War II Museum in Louisiana, New Orleans.
Oh,
and it
cool.
is phenomenal. Oh my! You've never seen anything like this. Hmm. I mean, you're watching, you know, footage, newsreel footage, and the seats start bouncing because you're on a bomber, and then all of a sudden, the front nose of a Mustang comes out of the ceiling with a propeller spinning. I mean, it's incredible. But he needed some voices for stuff, so at the World War II Museum in New Orleans, I'm the voice of Edward R. Murrow and Adolf Hitler. And Winston Churchill.
Wow!
Here, Churchill, if the British Empire should last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was England's finest hour. And Edward R. Murrow was, this is Edward R. Murrow coming to you live from London. As the blitz continues, the RAF rises, you know. And then Hitler, of course, was a crazy.
Wow! Oh my God!
Yeah, very silly.
I thought when you did Hitler, you'd be like, I'm a douche!
Well, that's not, well. I'm not sure I should have said what I just said. Anybody speaks German out there? I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
No, I didn't.
You didn't say any bad words.
But Tom, just because again, he's not only is the biggest, probably the biggest star I've ever met. He's been nice. He just is exactly what you think.
He's just a good. He's a good human being.
Absolutely. The only time anyone ever reports him getting mad and yelling at somebody is because he sees them yelling at someone else that's below them.
Like
if he sees a first AD yelling at a camera assistant for some reason, he walks up and he goes, "Take it down a notch," and he'll be just, you know, he's great. But yeah, I mean, I've met Morgan Freeman. I've met Sam Jackson was cool. I was talking to him one time, and I was just like going, first of all, he's big. I mean, he's like 6-something, and he's a big dude.
Wow.
But, so are you. You're like 6'6", man. What are you talking
about?
Well,
yeah, but I'm thin as a rail. I mean, this guy, I mean, you know, Sam's pushing 70, and he could break me like a toothpick.
Who's the worst?
Well, I can't say that. Well, okay. The worst was a very famous singer of Latina origins, and it was something at the Oscars, and she decided she needed to be the star of the show at that rehearsal, and basically was told by the director that, no, the show is the star of the show, and if you don't do what you're told right now, Missy, you're fired. And there's a line out the door of people who are waiting to take your spot to announce, you know, best whatever. And she started doing the head bob going, oh, no, you didn't. And then her manager was there. Shut up. But, she was, but it's a singer. You can put it together, pieces, you know. But
yeah.
Very, a diva. But
Is she a current, I don't want to name names, is she a current superstar or an 80s superstar?
She is current and has been a pretty top of the charts for 20
years. I totally know who it is.
I know exactly who it is.
Well, it'll get, and the other thing is everyone shows up at the Oscars in just their bum clothing because it's they have a psychotic no cameras policy. So, and they do that, so it's mostly for the women because then they don't have to get, they don't like, put on makeup,
right.
They don't put on clothes. They can just come for the rehearsal. It's just, they just want to show up for rehearsal, but they're there for 30 minutes and they leave. So, you know, you see Cameron Diaz, you know, with her hair in a ponytail and Nicole Kidman with her glasses on because, you know, she hadn't had her surgery yet and that, you know, all that stuff. And this person shows up in full head-to-toe $10,000 designer dress with makeup and all. Everybody's going, what? Did she think this was the broadcast? I mean, what is she doing?
Hey, Tom, we got to run. I cannot tell you how glad I hate that you left L.A., but I'm so glad you're back in town so I can see you.
Appreciate it, I do. Yes.
Can you send us out with a little C-3PO before we go for the night?
Hello, this is C-3PO, Human Cyborg Relations, and I'm not... Shut up, Artu! I'm on KMBC! How dare you be so rude!
I love you, brother. You be safe and be well.
All right, bye, guys. Bye, Dana.
Bye, 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 sweetie.
Bye, Tom.
Bye, Tom.
Off-air conversation with Tom Kane. He's such a good cat. And I was just telling him, I said, if you had told me when I was a kid, my first movie was Star Wars when I was six in Anchorage, Alaska. And I said, if you had told me when I was a little kid, I'd be hanging out with a guy who was in Star Wars, I would have told you were crazy. And he says, Scott, I get the same feeling like when I meet other voice actors who are like superstars. He goes, I can't believe I'm there. And anyway, he's such a good cat, and I appreciate him coming on the show, spending so much of his time with us. By the way, here's how bad it's gotten in the world of sports. Have you heard what ESPN is doing tonight?
I think so. Is it baseball, but not really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are so...
I didn't even click on it. I saw the headline and I went, nope.
We are so desperate for live sports in America. And I get it. I totally get it. They are broadcasting live overnight. I think it starts at 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern, so midnight here. The season opener of the South Korean League. That's tonight at midnight.
Yeah.
It's the Dragons. I can't remember.
Set your clocks, people.
I mean,
it's baseball somewhere else.
Amen.
Set your alarm because you're going to want to get up at midnight because that is live baseball coming your way at midnight tonight on ESPN.
But isn't that one of the same teams that we talked about that the whole team had to stop because one person on one of the teams in Japan got the corona?
This isn't Japan. This is South Korea.
Oh, it's South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was one of those leagues. They said this is going to be the problem. Everyone can play as long as everyone is healthy, but then one player got it, and they had to shut the whole thing down.
Well, as far as I know, and I'll have to go over to ESPN here in a minute, but they are planning to air a live season opener of two South Korean baseball teams tonight.
If you missed our 3 o'clock hour, it will repeat in just a few moments during the 6 o'clock hour. If you need a laugh, if you find immature things funny, like Scott and I do, stay tuned for the 6 o'clock hour. I thought Scott was going to fall out of his damn chair.
Oh, my God. I almost peed my pants. She is fantastic. Mary from Turdy Works. And her show debuts tonight at 9 o'clock. Kansas City time on True TV. She's coming up next. She was our first quarantine conversation today. We found her about a year ago. She made her return to the show today at 3 o'clock. She's fantastic, and she's funny. I have no idea what he just said. We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in all of America, the great Sam Stevie III, ladies and gentlemen, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we're all back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. Most importantly, be good.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.